but keep your eye on the grand old flag.
We're coming to you live from Iowa Public Radio on the University of Northern Iowa campus in Cedar Falls. Good afternoon. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom, and IPR's engineers Phil Moss and Tony Daner are with us, as well as a whole host of singers. And since this is Flag Day and IPR Studio One is overflowing with talented singers, we asked them to rustle up a bit of George Cohan's Grand Old Flag to start things off. And thank you all so much. That was really terrific. And happy Flag Day to all of our listeners. You're listening to IPR Classical Music in the Afternoon. And the real reason we have a wonderful chorus with us today is to bring you a few musical snippets from South Pacific being performed by the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's Young Artists. And the Young Artists Program is presenting Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific starting this Thursday evening, June 16th, and continuing through the 19th. And those performances start at 7:30 p.m. on the lawn of Bruce Moore Mansion in Cedar Rapids. And South Pacific is from Hammerstein and Joshua Logan's musical book based on Michener's Pulitzer Prize-winning book from 1947, Tales of South Pacific. And their guest stage director isn't with us today, but he's Bill Fabrice, and he has a national reputation and works regularly with opera and musical stage theater across the United States. Well, let's get a bit of background on South Pacific, and first of all, welcome all of you who are here, and thank you so much for coming today. We really appreciate it. And all of our singers today are joined by the Texas Tech University Professor of Choral and Opera Studies and the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's guest music director and conductor, Dr. John Hollins. And the founder and artistic director, Dr. Daniel Kleinkenek, is going to be on the keyboard today. So thanks to both of you gentlemen for coming. And John Hollins and I work together. We co-host when we do a live broadcast of the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater. So poor John has to put up with me. I'm so sorry about that.
Not at all. It's always a pleasure and an honor. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Well, South Pacific ran for over 1,900 performances. It won 10 Tonys for Best Musical, Best Score, Best Libretto. Tell us a bit about how this came to be and what brought it together and a bit about the plot.
Well, Jacqueline, the original Broadway production won 10 Tony Awards is based on, as you already referred to, the Pulitzer Prize-winning book. In the Tonys, it won all four acting awards, and many of its songs went on to have a life of their own. We know all of these fantastic tunes. It's an intriguing story. The musical opens on a South Pacific island during World War II, where a naive young Navy nurse from Arkansas becomes romantically involved with Emile Debec, a French plantation owner. At the same time, the American sailors are growing restless and bored without combat to keep them active or women to entertain them in their downtime. So we hear tunes like There Is Nothing Like a Dame. One sailor in particular, Luther Billis, hatches a plan to travel to Ballyhigh, a nearby island where the French plantation owners are believed to have hidden their women. Meanwhile, a U.S. Marine, Lieutenant Joe Cable, arrives on the island undercover on a dangerous spy mission crucial to the outcome of the war. A middle-aged grass-skirt seller named Bloody Mary, one of the few women on the island, takes an immediate interest in Cable. Nellie, on the other hand, has been reconsidering her relationship with Emile and decides to break up with him, and she sings, "I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair." However, when she bumps into him unexpectedly, she realizes she can't dump him because she's in love with him. Accepting an invitation to meet all of his friends and associates, she sings, "I'm in love with a wonderful guy." About this time, Cable, who needs to run reconnaissance on a nearby Japanese-held island, approaches Emile for help, but the plantation owner refuses, and Cable is told to go on leave until he is able to continue his mission. With nothing else to do, Cable allows Billis to convince him to travel to Ballyhigh. And on the island, Bloody Mary introduces Lieutenant Cable to a young Tonkinese girl, Liat, who turns out to be her daughter. She had been planning a love match, and it turns out to be a successful one. They quickly fall in love. Meanwhile, Emile and Nellie have become engaged, but when she learns that Emile has children with a dark-skinned Polynesian woman, Nellie's racial prejudice surfaces. In Act Two, the relationship between Liat and Cable is growing even more serious, but like Nellie, Cable exhibits some signs of racism, fearing what his friends and family will think if he marries a dark-skinned woman. When he finally admits that he won't marry the girl, Bloody Mary's furious and drags her distraught daughter away, swearing that she will marry her off to some other man. Although somewhat aware and ashamed of their bigotry, both Cable and Nellie seem prisoners to their social conditioning and believe that they have no real choice in the matter. Depressed over his rejected proposal, Emil offers to join Cable on his spy mission behind Japanese lines. Confronted by the plantation owner about his prejudices, Cable admits that it's just how he was raised in the song Carefully Taught. The mission is successful, and the intelligence received results in an American victory and the destruction of Japanese convoys, but Cable is killed in the ensuing battle. Touched by Liat's grief when she learns of her lover's death, Nellie, who imagines that Emil has also died, decides to put aside her prejudice and at least learn to love Emil's children as her own if she can't have their father. When Emil unexpectedly returns home, Nellie is overjoyed and they agree to marry. And that's South Pacific in a nutshell.
Bravo. Yeah. Well, this, you touched on this, but this at the time when this came out was a big deal because of the racial implications of this. And you already had a special meeting up in Cedar Rapids earlier, a couple of weeks ago.
It was an informative, enlightening forum, very helpful and very constructive, good dialogue, open dialogue, using this piece and the arts as a catalyst for awareness in this milieu.
And this musical has some of the most famous songs that is part of our American culture.
Tune after tune after tune, and they really have become imprinted into the American songbook and indeed the world songbook. This repertoire is so rich. Coming out of World War II, this is only 1949, barely 4 years. You can imagine how it was received at the time and how that war brought the world together in both cataclysmic and revelatory ways, and society, its impact, it's profound. But the tunes themselves have a life of their own indeed and have become a part of our rich songbook. There's tune after tune is just delightful.
And we're going to be hearing tune after tune here in just a
minute.
Absolutely. Well, we've been very fortunate to have Dr. John Hollins give us kind of the thumbnail sketch of the show South Pacific. So let's start by meeting our U.S. Navy nurse, Nellie Forbush, and that's soprano Erin Bryan. Erin, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from northeastern Wisconsin originally, Appleton, Wisconsin. We're home to Harry Houdini. And but currently I am at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I will be beginning the second year of my doctorate in voice with a minor in historical musicology.
So you've done quite a few productions at the University of Madison, and you also just recently sang with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater in La Traviata.
Yes, yes. It's nice to be back.
And you're returning now to do one of the lead roles in South Pacific. So tell us a little bit about your character and how you feel about her.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting you should ask how I feel about her. So Nellie is from Little Rock, Arkansas, and you know, there are the basic external conflicts in the story, but also one of the big conflicts that happens is Nellie realizing her own internalized prejudice and really very strong racism. And when I started approaching Nellie, to be honest, I didn't like her. I kind of wanted to shake her. But it's sort of one of the old rules of theater and opera that you can't dislike your character. Your performance will come off as a farce. And so when I guess to explain this, I should talk about my traffic ticket. I got a traffic ticket for the very first time in my life this past winter. It was mailed to me from Cedar Rapids after Traviata. But the thing is, I've actually been pulled over many times. My mom's listening right now. But I've been pulled over many times in my life, but I've never gotten a ticket. And I've always kind of just taken that for granted. But then the fact is, I don't know if I would have that same experience if I were a woman of color. And so while I might not have the same form of prejudice going on that Nellie experiences, the fact is that I still am a beneficiary because I'm part of an oppressive party. Being a white person and living in a society where this white privilege is so very, very real. And so while I might not quite think the same way as Nellie, I can relate to her in that I'm part of an oppressive party. And so that kind of helped me be able to empathize with her a little bit.
And hopefully give you less of a heavy foot.
That too.
You're going to start with singing this Cockeyed Optimist. We'd love to hear this song. And just give us a 10-second description of it.
Sure. Well, this is in the first scene. Nellie and Emil are talking about a lovely photo of her from her hometown newspaper. And she's explaining about how the truth is she's just an optimist about everyone and everything. Gosh, it's beautiful here. Just look at that yellow sun. You know, I don't think it's the end of the world like everyone else thinks. I just can't work myself up to getting that low. Well, do you think I'm crazy too? They all do over at the Fleet Hospital. You know what they call me? Knucklehead Nellie. I suppose I am, but I can't help it.
Sky is a bright canary yellow. I forget every cloud I've ever seen. So they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incurably green. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. But I'm only a cockeyed optimist, and I can't get it into my head. I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is selling me a bill and telling me it just ain't so. I could say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. Not this.
Anything else about me?
Yes. You say you are a fugitive when you joined the Navy. What were you running away from?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I guess I was more running to something. I wanted to see what the world was like. Outside Little Rock, I mean. And I wanted to meet different kinds of people and find out if I like them better. And I'm finding out.
Would you like some cognac?
I'd love some.
Wonder how I'd feel living on a hillside, looking on an ocean beautiful and still.
This is what I need. This is what I've longed for. Someone young and smiling, climbing up my hill.
We are not alike. Probably I'd bore him. He's a cultured Frenchman. I'm a little hick.
Younger men than I, officers and doctors probably pursue her. She could have her pick.
Wonder why I feel jittery and jumpy. I am like a schoolgirl waiting for a dance.
Can I ask her now? I'm like a schoolboy. What will be her answer? Do I have a chance?
Thank you.
That was wonderful. And you heard soprano Erin Bryan and baritone Kyle Roeder. And they are appearing as Nellie and Emile in the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's upcoming performances of South Pacific. Well, Kyle, tell us just a smidge about yourself. You're from Jefferson, Iowa.
Yeah, good old Iowa.
Yay. And you're going to Drake?
Yep. I'm currently a student at Drake going into my senior year.
And you just recently appeared with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater, didn't
you? Yes, I was in La Traviata as well.
So you've got a bit of a chance to work with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater. Tell us a little bit about your character, Emile, and how he fits into the plot.
Well, Emile really is just a guy looking for a partner in life. He's had to flee his homeland, so a lot of things have been foreign to him for his entire life, and he's really just looking for someone to settle down with that he understands and hopefully somebody that understands him.
There's a bit of mystery surrounding him. He may have killed someone in France.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But he didn't, or he did.
He did.
He did.
Absolutely.
But
yes.
Is he a good guy?
I think deep down, Emile really is a great guy.
And he has several children as well.
Yes, he has two children, Nagana and Jerome, from a Polynesian mother, which Nellie finds out at the end of the first act.
But the Polynesian wife is no longer,
passed away.
Right. Okay, well, you have one of the most famous songs of the whole musical, and you're going to present it for us. So tell us a little bit about this spot in the musical.
Some Enchanted Evening, it comes in that first scene where we're introduced to Emile and Nellie's relationship, which is really still at its start. And Emile is still trying to romance her, and it's really about how he's really thinking that he's found his true love.
Okay, well, let's hear this wonderful Some Enchanted Evening.
So one must speak and act quickly. Even if it seems foolish to be so quick. I know it is only 2 weeks. A dinner given at your officers' club. Do you remember?
Yes.
And that is the way things happen sometimes. Isn't it, Nellie?
Yes, it is, Emile.
Some enchanted evening you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted evening, someone may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room. And night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons, wise men never try. Some enchanted find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, then fly to her side and make her your own, or all through your life you may dream all alone. Once you have found her, never let her go.
Once you have found her, never let her go.
Baritone Kyle Roeder performing in the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's upcoming performances of South Pacific on June 16th through the 19th on the front lawn of Bruce Moore in Cedar Rapids. And he's singing the role of Emile DeBeck, the plantation owner. And thank you so much. That was so beautiful. Thank you very much. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. And appearing as one of the quirky South Pacific characters is mezzo-soprano Jessica Kaczynski, and Jessica takes the role of Bloody Mary.
Yes, I do.
Which must be a lot of fun. Jessica, tell us about yourself.
Oh, it's tremendous fun. I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm currently at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, pursuing my doctorate in vocal performance with a minor in musicology.
And you've also done some work with Florida State University as well?
Yes, ma'am. I graduated in Florida State in 2014.
And you've done some things with Middleton Players?
Yes, I just finished singing Caiaphas in Jesus Christ Superstar.
And you're going to be doing some roles with them coming up this summer.
Yes, they're currently in production for Sunday in the Park with George. So I'm looking forward to going back and participating with that.
And are you bearing all in Jesus Christ Superstar?
Well, no. I was very elegantly dressed in a long black evening gown.
Okay.
So there was no bearing of anything but my soul. So.
All right. Yes. And you also have worked with the Emerald City Opera.
Yes, in Colorado.
And you've done some things with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater.
I have. I covered Flora for the Traviata that just occurred, and then sang in the chorus as well.
Well, it's great to have you coming back to Cedar Rapids.
It's my pleasure, absolutely.
And to be with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater. And you have also one of the very famous songs, and it has an unusual interval in it as well.
Ah, yes.
I don't know if that's tough. Probably not. You're a professional singer.
Well, no, not at all. But it is certainly intriguing because it does create that sense of mystery regarding the island, Ballyhigh.
And that's you jump up a major seventh? Is it a major seventh?
I sing an octave. I do sing several sevenths in the song. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, we would love to hear that performed next by Jessica Kaczynski.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Shut your big fat mouth!
Here, island. Most people live on a lonely island, lost in the middle of a foggy sea. Most people long for another island. Try, you'll find.
special island. Come to me, come to me. Bali high, Bali high, Bali high. Someday you'll see me floating in the sunshine, my head sticking out from a love-lying cloud. You'll hear me call you, singing in the sunshine, sweet and clear as can be. Come to me, here am I.
Mezzo-soprano Jessica Kosinski. And Jessica, thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you very kindly.
Jessica is appearing as Bloody Mary, and she has one of the quirky characters in the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's upcoming performances of South Pacific that will be presented later this week. And thank you so much. We are broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. And Aaron, before you get the shampoo out, I'd like to just briefly introduce the rest of the chorus members just quickly here. We have with us today Erin Persick, a soprano from Cedar Rapids. She's a Luther grad, and she received her master's at the University of North Texas. Mezzo-soprano Jill Morgan is working on a vocal performance degree at Drake, and she's from Andover, Michigan. Mezzo-soprano Angelie Concari just received her bachelor's from Simpson and is moving to Cedar Rapids. Mezzo-soprano Corey Auger plays the role of Nurse McGregor, and she received her bachelor's from Grand Valley State University and her master's from Pennsylvania State University. Baritone Rudy Camel appears as the wheeling and dealing sailor, Luther Billis. He just received a Bachelor of Music from Drake in Vocal Performance and Choral Music Education. Sam Nolte, bass, appears as Commander Harbison, and he plays, I think that's the right, yes, right role, and he's working on his bachelor's degree in vocal performance at Drake. And Andrew Casey appears as Richard West, Herbert Quayle, and the pilot. He's a baritone. And he's a senior music education student at Simpson. And tenor Jack Cotterall performs as Lieutenant Cable, and we'll be talking to him a little bit later. Well, Aaron, I don't think Phil had time to install a shower for you. Are you going to be okay without that?
There are a lot of cords in here, so I might be safe.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about where this comes and what this is all about in South Pacific.
Sure. Well, Nellie has just made the realization that she doesn't know Emile Debeck very well, and that perhaps before she goes any further with this thing, it might be safest to just not get started at all.
Okay.
Well, don't look so dramatic about it. Things like this happen every day. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way. Get the picture? I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms. I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms and send him on his way.
what the door is for. Run him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams. You can't light a fire when the woods are wet.
No.
You can't make a butterfly strong. You can't fix an egg if it ain't quite good.
And you can't fix a man when he's wrong.
You can't put back a paddle when it falls from a floor, or sweeten up a feller when he starts turning sour.
Oh no.
Down quite yet, Erin. So you've got to tell us, are you going to wash your hair at these performances?
Oh, gosh, I don't know if I had a non-disclosure agreement about this. There will be some shampoo, and I will say that after this rehearsal process, I think I may have the cleanest hair in Iowa.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that big hint. Well, that was so much fun. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 here on the UNI campus. And if you haven't decided to get tickets yet, they're going to be performing this Thursday through Sunday, June 16th through 19th, on the lawn at Bruce Moore in Cedar Falls. And we have joining us next tenor Jack Cotterall, who performs as Lieutenant Cable. And you have the honor of falling in love with Bloody Mary's daughter. So,
indeed.
Lots of things are going on with you. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah, I come from White Bear Lake, Minnesota, born and raised, and I've spent the last 12 years in Chicago.
And you've done some interesting things. You went to DePaul University, and you've also done some other things while you were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In addition to singing opera, I also do show tunes. I dance a bit. I was a music educator for a few years before I burned out. So I try to be as multidimensional as possible.
So you've sung with the Chamber Opera Chicago.
Yeah, I've worked with them for about 10 years now.
And you're going to head to the Grant Park Music Festival. That sounds like fun.
It's a great gig. It's also an outdoor venue in downtown Chicago in the sort of brand new Millennium Park there. So I'll spend the rest of the summer season with them after this run is over.
So in addition to singing, you act, you also model.
That's very few and far between. I don't know where you found that out, but yes.
I have my sources.
Yeah, indeed. I do some commercial print modeling in Chicago, but it's good work when you can get it, but it's very few and far between. I'm too short for the fashion modeling world, unfortunately.
I see. Okay. Well, we all think you're handsome here. So,
thank you.
In this role, you play a young Marine officer, and tell us a little bit about your role in this musical.
Sure. Lieutenant Cable has been on my list for a while. When people ask me what my dream roles are, I just say, whatever pays. Cable is something I've wanted to do for a while now. And it's been a lot of fun digging into this character and sort of doing the research to prepare for the role. You always start with the libretto, and Oscar Hammerstein and Josh Logan did a great job adapting Michener's original book. Cable is an interesting character because there are a few differences between the libretto and the book. But, especially when it comes to Showtime, you treat the libretto as sacred, and the information that's there is, what you go from. But, you know, there are some blank spaces there as well that need to be filled. And, you know, that's where, you know, going back to the original source material kind of helps. And then also, in addition to that, I watched some documentaries and interviews and read, you know, several memoirs about what it was like to be a Marine on the front lines in the Pacific Theater during World War II.
So your role is that you're actually going to be sort of a spy character, and you have a mission that you have to be on. And you also have a dilemma with your family and your choice in love.
Indeed, yeah. Cable, in the book, wrote to his girlfriend and his mother back home in Philadelphia every day. He met Bloody Mary on the island, and they got to know each other. And in the book, they got to know each other over the course of a few weeks, and they really became pretty good friends. And Mary kind of always had an idea that he might be a good match for her daughter. So she finally gets the chance to introduce them, and, you know, they do fall in love. And in the book, they don't go too much into depth about Liat or the relationship in the libretto, but in the book, you know, Cable and Liat really are peers. They speak enough French that they can communicate pretty efficiently, and they have several long conversations getting to know each other. But, you know, that's something that Cable struggles with throughout the entire show, or, well, you know, the second half of the show for him, of, you know, reconciling his feelings for Liat and, you know, kind of his environment growing up and, you know, his family back home.
So at the end of Act One, you get to sing one of the big hits to your sweetheart. So tell us about this work and sing it for us.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, this comes right towards the end of Act One. He's just met Liat, and they've had their first encounter, so to speak. You know, this is an interesting number because, you know, kind of out of nowhere, you get this really rich poetry in the libretto that, you know, Hammerstein and Logan wrote. And it just seemingly comes out of nowhere for this character, you know, who's been fighting on the front lines. And, you know, he's just a Marine, right? But, you know, Cable is a Princeton grad. So, you know, maybe that's where some of that poetry comes from. But it's a very intense scene for him because, you know, in the middle of all this warfare and, you know, fighting on the front lines in the Pacific Theater was singularly intense. There had not been fighting like that up to that point in any war that people have written about. You know, he gets this reprieve, and it's just sort of otherworldly, this scene with him and Liat and this romance and everything like that.
Touch your hand and my arms grow strong, like a pair of birds that burst with song. My eyes look down at your lovely face, and I hold the world in my springtime, are you softer than starlight? Are you warmer than winds of June? Are the gentle lips you gave me gayer than laughter? Are you sweeter than music? Are you angel and lover? When your youth and joy invade my arms and fill my heart as now they do, then younger than springtime, am I gayer than laughter? Am I angel and lover? When your youth and joy invade
Jack Cotterell. And thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Performing there as the Marine officer, Lieutenant Joseph Cable. Now, at the beginning or somewhere in Act Two, the lieutenant sings another short song. And tell us a little bit what this song is about.
So this song is sort of the linchpin in some ways for the point of this whole musical. You know, Lieutenant Cable has this moment in the second act where, you know, during a confrontation with Emile, he kind of explains, he kind of starts to figure out and explain, you know, why, where racism and prejudice come from. And, you know, it's interesting because in the original book, Cable does not get his redemption. He gets several opportunities from Bloody Mary to marry Liat, and he turns her down and then, you know, ships off the next day and dies in combat. You know, I'm so appreciative of Hammerstein and Logan and the work they did in adapting it into the libretto and the show that it became. And, you know, to quote Lin-Manuel Miranda from the Tonys, as he reflected on, you know, what happened in Orlando over the weekend, you know, love is love is love is love is love is love is love. And, you know, Cable gets this wonderful moment of redemption where he, you know, kind of comes around, so to speak, and realizes, you know, that he's not going to let the background that he comes from and the racism that he has and, you know, that we all have to a certain degree. It's just a question of how aware of it you are and how much you're willing to work against it. But, you know, he does get this wonderful moment of redemption leading into You've Got to Be Carefully Taught in the second act.
I do not believe this is born in you. I do not believe it.
It's not born in you. It happens after you're born.
You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be carefully taught.
Tenor Jack Cotterell, thank you so much, Jack. That was
thank you,
very, very wonderful.
Thank you.
And you are listening to folks who are performing from the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's production of South Pacific, which is going to be presented June 16th through the 19th on the lawn of Bruce Moore Mansion in Cedar Rapids. Well, it's time for our Bloody Mary to return, mezzo-soprano Jessica Kaczynski. And tell us, set the stage in Act Two. You believe you are the ultimate in matchmaking.
I am.
Forget about it.
Yes.
Forget about all these websites that claim that they can match you up.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You are the woman who can do this. And you have a wonderful husband for your daughter. Tell us about the background of this song.
I do. Well, in Act One, when I first meet Lieutenant Cable, because now I can't say that word correctly at all, I meet Joe Cable, and I see him, and I tell him he's damn sexy. And that starts my machinations for bringing him to my island and having him meet my daughter. I think with Bloody Mary, she has become a creature of observation and can pretty much know who's going to be a good soul and who's not. And so from that first meeting, she decides that Joe Cable is a good soul and that what he needs is to come to my island and relax, and I'm going to do all the work for you. So,
and everybody kind of thinks that all the girls are sequestered on this island of yours, right?
Well, I don't have anything to do with the French planter's daughters. I don't know anything about that.
I see.
My approach for the character is that I'm going to find a good, stable, non-alcoholic, emotionally sound husband for my daughter, who is the jewel of my life. And I think that in what I do as far as selling the grass skirts and bringing the money back to the community, I'm being more helpful for the community as a whole.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear this marvelous piece.
Sure. Thank you.
Talk about a boy saying to the girl, golly, baby, I'm a lucky cuss. Talk about the girl saying to the boy, you and me is lucky to be us. Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do. You got to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, then how you
Jessica Kaczynski, mezzo-soprano, who is appearing as Bloody Mary in South Pacific. And earlier when you were practicing, everybody was doing these funny little things with their fingers.
Yes.
What was that all about?
Yes. So Bill Fabry has given me a little bit of choreography in order to lighten the mood of this seduction of Joe Cable to come and marry my daughter. So it's very similar to what Juanita Hall does in the original production that made the movie. So, yes.
Well, it's very fun, and thank you so much. That was a lot of fun.
So my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, we do have time. We're going to squeeze one more number in featuring our heroine, the U.S. Navy nurse, and a bunch of the other nurses, the heroine sung by Aaron Bryan. And in Act One, Nellie is 1 minute washing this guy out of her hair, and the next minute she's singing his praises. Tell us about this song.
Yes. Well, damp hair and all. Nellie has just run into Emil shortly after washing him out of her hair, and he explains why he, in fact, did kill someone in France and why he had to leave France. And she realizes that his reasons are noble. She still has no idea about his biracial children, but we'll come to that at the end of the act. But at this point, she just realizes he's a wonderful guy, and she's in love with him.
Well, she sure washed him out of her hair.
Quiet, she'll hear you.
I expect every one of my crowd to make fun of my proud protestations of faith in romance. And they'll say I'm naive as a babe to believe any fable I hear from a person in pants. Fearlessly, I'll face them and argue their doubts away. Loudly, I'll sing about flowers and spring. Flatly, I'll stand on my little flat feet and say, love is a grand and a beautiful thing. I'm not ashamed to reveal the world famous feeling I feel. I'm as corny as Kansas in August. I'm as normal as blueberry pie. No more a smart little girl with no heart. I have found me a wonderful guy. I am in a conventional deal. star in my eye. And you will note there's a lump in my throat when I speak of that wonderful guy. I'm as trite and as gay as a daisy in May, a cliche coming true. I'm bromidic and bright as a moon happy night, pouring light on the dew. I'm as corny as Kansas in August, high as the flag on the 4th of July. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful.
Soprano Erin Bryan singing the role of the Navy nurse Nellie Forbush from South Pacific. Thank you so much, Erin, and thank you so much, everyone. We are broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio's Studio One, and these fantastic singers are going to be taking the stage with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater's production of South Pacific starting this Thursday, June 16th through the 19th on the lawn of Bruce Moore Mansion in Cedar Rapids. And we also had with us today Dr. John Hollins, who is the guest conductor and music director of the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater for the summer production of South Pacific, and the founder and artistic director of the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater, Dr. Daniel Kleinknecht, at the keyboard. Now, if you would like to get more information about getting tickets, here's the number you need to call. It's 319-362-7375, or go online at brucemoore.org. And you can also bring picnic baskets, beverages, lawn chairs, and blankets, and the gates at Bruce Moore, which is a marvelous place to be, open at 6:30 p.m. And Daniel or John, any words that you'd like to add? You have to run up to the microphones here, and anything you'd like to say or tell our listening audience right now. Marvelous performances and great piano work too, Daniel.
Yes, bravo to Daniel Kleinknecht.
Yes, thank you so much. Bravo.
I just wanted to add, to connect the dot, earlier we were talking about how great these songs are and the show is. And to hear this on stage, Bill Fabrizi has charming use of the Bruce Moore stage. To hear those tunes realized by these fabulous voices and these wonderful artists, that really does bring it to life. And it's such a treat, and it's an honor to work with them all. So it will be a wonderful show, and we're looking forward to it.
And I just want to add how beautiful, taking what John's saying here, the auditorium outside is just beautiful. The sky is beautiful. And when the breezes come through, it can't be a more beautiful place to experience this great piece.
And Iowa in the summer and this kind of theater is just a wonderful, wonderful thing to have happen. Well, thank you so much to Erin Bryan, soprano, baritone Kyle Roeder, mezzo-soprano Jessica Kaczynski, tenor Jack Cotterall, and, of course, our six other wonderful Cedar Rapids Opera Theater cast and chorus members. And we certainly wish all of our artists well in their careers. And thank you so much for coming to IPR today. And Iowa Public Radio, thanks goes to Phil Moss, our technical producer and engineer. And thanks also goes to IPR's Tony Daner and our student music assistant, Rachel Berenger. And thanks also to IPR's music director, Al Scherz. And to the folks with the Cedar Rapids Opera Theater, Stephanie Mikolicek, Christina Patrimanis, and Jennifer Schulte. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom, and we just had so much fun today. Thank you all for coming here to be with Iowa Public Radio Classical, and thanks for listening. And we're going to go now to close the hour with a South Pacific Symphonic Scenario for Concert Orchestra, and this performance features the Philadelphia Pops Orchestra under Andre Castellanets. So thank you all again, and thank you so much for coming today.